Robert Fulghum, who wrote several books some years back, including All I Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, once told a story about how he had heard about these inhabitants of New Guinea who believed that by yelling at something, yelling at a tree, they could kill the spirit of the tree. And then he writes, "Oh, those poor, naive innocents, to think that yelling at a thing would kill the spirit in it." Me? I yell at my wife sometimes. I yell at the lawnmower. I yell when things don't go right. And then he finishes with this thought: sticks and stones will break our bones, but words will break our hearts. It's true, isn't it? Can we talk about that? Because this is where we live. I think about when I was in seminary. It was great being at Presbytery. I got to meet a couple of guys. One I already knew who was in my graduating class when I was at Princeton some years ago. And another who went to the same undergraduate school, Westmont, in Princeton as well. It was great to, you know, make those connections. But when I was in seminary my last year, there was a professor that I really liked. Reminded me a lot of my dad, who was a college professor. He looked like my dad. They had some similar mannerisms, and we got along really well. But he was going through a rough time, this professor, and he had a habit every once in a while of taking a student in class, and he didn't like something they had to say, and he would berate them up one side and down the other. And it was wrong. And every once in a while, he'd do that, and you just kind of wince. And then one day, he did it to me. And I hated him for it. I'll tell you, I hated him for it. And you can say, well, you shouldn't do that. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm in my mid-20s, but hey, stuff like that happens to us today. We have to watch ourselves, right? And, I mean, the truth is, I kept praying about it because I had to see the guy every day in class. I had to write papers for him and do work in the class. And I kept praying about it. And for what seemed like the longest time, it was a period of a couple months. But nothing seemed to change. And then one day I was standing, I was leaving one of the halls, and it was just this spontaneous thing. I saw him crossing from one edge of this long lawn to another. And by the time he got to the end of the lawn, my heart toward him had changed completely. God had touched me as I had this chance to just see the man for a moment. For some reason, God gave me another perspective, changed my heart. Now, actually, one of my fondest memories from seminary is of that professor running up to me after graduation and saying, "James, if you ever need a reference," and he actually ran, he was out of breath, "if you ever need a reference for anything, please use my name." So God had come into that situation and had healed it completely. And that's a beautiful thing. And you might look at that and say, "Oh, well, that's a small thing, you know, in that instance. I mean, you're a student in class, professor yells at you. But hey, you don't know how I get. I mean, especially at that point in my life. I mean, I used to, sometimes conflicts with professors, I would break out in hives overnight. I mean, that kind of intensity, you know, churning and dealing with this kind of stuff. And you might say, well, that's not normal. No, it isn't. But the fact is, we all have those places, don't we? And maybe it's not there. Maybe you've got a thicker skin. But it's somewhere else. And you know it because it's that tender place where God is working on you, and sometimes you're like, oh, Lord, really? Do we have to go there? He's working on your heart. And this is where it's so important for us to look at Jesus. The Bible speaks of the human heart as the center of our being. Psalm 119:11. I've hidden your word in my heart, right? That I might not sin against you. It's at the center of who I am. David writes in Psalm 109, I'm poor and needy, and here it is, my heart is wounded within me. We can think of the heart as a window to the soul. Remember the words we read from the 23rd Psalm this morning. He restores my soul. This morning, we need to start by just looking at the heart for what it is, realizing that this is real stuff. This is where you and I live. And this is why the words of the prophet Isaiah, this is part of an amazing prophecy about the Lord establishing his kingdom. And I think it's not just about Jerusalem, but it's about the eternal kingdom that's coming. And there's a reason for that, that I think that, but let's read these words. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has appointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his glory. It's a beautiful passage, isn't it? I mean, look at what God is promising here. You know, good news, comfort for the brokenhearted, freedom for captives, a crown of beauty and blessing, praise instead of despair. Strong people standing strong like oaks for the glory of God. All of this describes the work of God in a heart. The work of God in a soul. Look at how it starts. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and proclaim that captives will be set free. And the reason I love this passage is because Luke tells us how when Jesus was first starting his ministry, he stood up in the synagogue in Nazareth and he opened the scroll to these words. And he began to read. This is Jesus' heart work that we're talking about here. And Jesus, after he finished reading from the scroll, said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today. Jesus is using these words to talk about who he is and what he does. All of this is fulfilled in Jesus, not someday, but here and now. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the beautiful meaning of this passage, dear one, is that if you have been wounded, if your heart has been broken, if you are hurting or if you are held captive, Jesus can heal you and can set you free. He said it. Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus came not only to save our souls, but to restore them as well, to give them healing and life. And there is nothing better than this. It's his light shining into our darkness. And if you have seen the light and love shine out of the face of someone who Jesus has healed, oh man, it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so as we look at this passage this morning, I would ask you gently, is there a place in your heart, is there a place in your life where you need Jesus to touch you afresh, to help you to forgive someone maybe, to let go of something that happened years ago, maybe to set you free from something that someone says, oh, you'll never be beyond that. Maybe it's something someone has called you. They've cursed you in that way, if you will. They said, oh, you know, this is who you are. No, no, no. You and I can come to Jesus. And you and I can find help. Jesus can do all of this, and it can start when? Today. Today. You know, if you have received him as your Savior, his Spirit has already done an amazing work in your soul. And that work helps you to cry out, Abba, Father, and to go with him to that place of pain in your life and say, Lord, help me here. Help me here. I want to move beyond this. I want to grow beyond that. I need to be healed here. And I would encourage you to go to him in that place, right here, right now, this morning, as we take communion. Lord, I want more of you in me. I don't want to stay in this place. I don't want to dwell on that hurt. I don't want to carry that all of my life. I want to let that go. You know, sometimes that takes time as well. You might have to keep praying that way for a while after you leave this place. That's okay, because our hearts are complicated, aren't they? And sometimes it takes time for us to work things through. But the beauty of our God is that he will. That he will. That he will go the distance with us, because he who began a good work in us will what? Carry it through to completion. Completion. So take your time with God in this, dear one. Talk it over with him. Get with him. Listen to him. Shout. Cry out, do whatever you need to do, but above all, let him into that place and say, Lord, please, please help. Bring the matter before Jesus and let him do what only he can do. The Apostle Paul put it this way. Well, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Go back a little. Cast all your anxiety on Him, Peter said, because He cares for you. Folks, this kind of heart work, you know, it's something that to talk about it in some ways may seem a little bit unspectacular. But when it happens, when it really happens, man, you're going to praise Him for it. Because you're going to look at where you were and you're going to realize, that's not who I am anymore. You're going to see that Jesus really is alive and is able to heal. And that is a beautiful thing. Again, just look at what blessing instead of mourning. Praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks the Lord has planted for His glory. I want to be that. Good news. Comfort the brokenhearted. Proclaim the captives will be released. Prisoners will be freed. And if you struggle with an addiction, if you struggle with a besetting sin, you don't have to stay there. Praise God. A crown of beauty for ashes. Blessing instead of mourning. Praise instead of despair. What is it that Jesus has for you beyond this place? He is an amazing healer. Will you let Him? Whatever it is, and you know what it is. You know. We have this game we used to play around our house. We don't do it so much anymore, but sometimes when we were talking about places where God was working on us, we'd just say like one person's name. And sometimes we'd sort of make a joke out of it. We'd put it in the dog's voice, because for some reason at our house, we give our dogs different personalities. You know, and the dog can actually say something. And sometimes when the dog says it, then, you know, nobody gets mad. I don't know why it works that way, but it does. And the truth is, we all have those places, right? And today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Let's pray. Lord, it is Your promise, and we praise You. You heal us. Nothing is too hard for You. Your word says that. And Lord, in those places where we doubt and we think, oh, even God can't heal this, Lord Jesus, we believe, help our unbelief. But we affirm You set captives free. You forgive sin. You cleanse us, and we are born again as we receive You. Maybe this morning, as we've talked about this, there was a check in your spirit, and you thought, you know, I can't really say I've received Him. Oh, would you? He is calling you this morning. His Spirit is at work to draw you near. Say yes to Him. Would you just say, oh Lord, please, heal me. Forgive me of my sins. Come in, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. I want to be a new person. I want to leave this stuff. I want to step into new life with you. Please, Lord. I believe you died for my sins at the cross. I don't know how it all works, but I receive it and I receive you. And if you've received him already, know this. That because you are the Lord's very own, it's what he says about you that matters most of all. And you are a child of the living God. And he will carry on to completion what he has done. So would you welcome him and say, oh, please, Lord, please heal me in this place. Heal this hurt. Touch me. Lord, help me. Because I want to live for you. I don't want to stay stuck on that. I don't want to stay self-focused in that place. I want to live. Thank you, Father. This is the very work, Lord Jesus, you came to do. That we may be, Lord, your very own. Let's think about these as we sing this another new song.